Oh, isn't that cute? That is the most precious thing I've ever seen in my life.
He looks like a deranged Easter bunny.
He does not.
He does, too. He looks like a pink nightmare. Are you happy wearing that? Do you want to take it off? Look, you tell the kid to take it off.
All right, you'll only wear it when Aunt Clara visits. Go on and take it off.
Take it off!
I genuinely don't know if it's better that the brother laughing at him or the dad yelling, please take it off. That's I love that scene. That's from A Christmas Story. Every one of us has had an experience of receiving a surprise that we didn't necessarily want, right? You get something, you open up a gift, and you're like, oh, thank you, right? It is a common experience to the human equation, and I love that picture of it in this movie. If you're being honest about the Christmas story, Jesus is not what the people wanted. He was the surprise they were not looking for, not hoping for. Jesus wasn't what the world was expecting. Now, to be sure and to be clear, there was a hunger, there was a hope, there was an expectation for a coming king. It had been prophesied for hundreds, even thousand years before, that in the line of David, one would come who would establish a rulership that would not end. And they were hungry for it. They were so hopeful for it. They were so in desperate need of it. They were under an occupying force. Roman regime had stolen their identity. They longed to get back what had been taken from them. They wanted freedom to be able to worship and honor and live the way that God had called them to be with him. And they were underneath it. And they were hoping God would come and deliver. Bring a Messiah. Bring a hope. They were looking for a political liberator. And Jesus came, and he did not come in the way that they wanted. There was no fanfare, no public anointing. His entrance into the earth is not epic in any way, shape, or form. It is the most humblest of births, of experiences, of seeing someone come. Even to this day, if we were to say someone was born in a barn, it'd be jolting. And yet that's what you have right there in Luke chapter 2. And just a brief description of this coming Messiah, coming King, it tells us really clearly how God came into our midst. Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, I want you to look there with me. We're going to start in verse 4. And Joseph also went up from the Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, God has come into our midst, and he's trying to say something to us. In other words, God's saying, I'm going to show up in your lives, but it is not going to look the way that you are hoping it would look. Not in the way that you're longing for it to look, right? And that is what God does. Does he not do that all the time? We get to be surprised by God, but he often does it in ways that we don't even understand and we're not looking for. It often sometimes doesn't make sense. Will he come in ways that will touch our lives? You bet. Will he come in the way that we most want him to come? Usually not. And in this case, this coming king who had been spoken of was not what they were looking for. It was the surprise they weren't wanting. Maybe you've ever had a surprise where you were going like, wow, I didn't see that coming. I wasn't sure that it was going to come that way. I wouldn't have done it that way. We've all had that experience. And yet, In fact, I could pretty common to the human experience when we think about the interaction of God with us. There's like, hey, God, here's what I would do if I were you. That's often even how we pray, right? Like, here's the crazy thing happening, and God, I'm asking you to come and fix it. And this is how I would do it. That's how we have in our minds. The scripture actually talks about that often. Proverbs speaks to this pretty clearly. It says that there's a way that seems right to how we would do it, but it just leads to death. In other words, when we try to get our own way, it never ends up leading to life. Proverbs 19 says, "The many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will always stand." God comes in surprising ways. God's the God of the universe is coming in the flesh, this Savior King. And it is fair to say that what we were expecting was more than a feeding trough for a crib. A place where animals get their food, you lay the Son of God in that mess. Make no mistake, God's plan was an incredible surprise. It just wasn't the one we were looking for and even asking for. The infinite, magnificent, unsearchable God coming to earth in rags. Rags. No powerful upbringing, no powerful training or schooling, no college education. You might go, well, they didn't even have college education. Oh, yeah, they did. They 100% had college education, called Beit Midrash, and all of the top thinkers and top students and top learners and studiers would go to this school. And that's what they were expecting, that this great coming king would come through their school. And they were looking for Harvard-educated elite to take them to the promised land. And God, in his brilliant, incredible, far beyond our understanding mind, says, nope, I'm coming in rags. So the question that we get to ask is why? That's the question we all get to wrestle with for just a moment. Why is God coming in the flesh this way? It would seem like maybe the plan or the idea was to come and show up in glory and show off great wonder and power rather than get laid in a feeding trough. So why? The scripture has incredible things to say about the why, the underpinning for this way of coming among us. And the writer, the author, the pastor of Hebrews describes why exactly God wanted to come this way to us. Because he's going to describe this great high priest who understands and who sees. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "So since then we have this great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to this confession, our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In other words, God on purpose comes into humanity and in humility so that we could know forever God understands us. He sees us, he gets us, and we, because of that, can come to him even today. Not just come to him generally out here somewhere, meaning God coming in rags is so to say, I get you and see you, therefore come and meet with me now. He understands. He didn't come in the flesh just to shock the world for shock's sake. He came in the flesh to be able to say, I know you. I know you. I know what you're walking through. I know pain. I know your pain. I know temptation. I know your temptation. I know a hardship. I know your hardship. I know sadness. I know your sadness. I know your heartache. I know your hurt. I know it all. He isn't the distant one from the cloud. He's the one in rags who gets it. Who gets it and gets you. And this is what continues to separate this king, this God, from every other supposed and false God or false hope you and I have ever had. This is what makes him different than any other one, any other lifted one in all the universe. Do you understand? He came in our mess, in his own mess, wrapped in rags, so that we could have his perfection. And that's what he did. He didn't stay at a distance. And this is incredibly important for us to have and to hold and to remember, because you and I will inevitably be tempted in this life to believe that he's not here. Or you and I will be tempted to believe he doesn't hear. Or you and I will be tempted to believe that he doesn't understand, or maybe that he has even abandoned you, or you'll be tempted to believe that he doesn't understand you, or what you're walking through is too gross or too hard or too painful for him to really be able to heal. We'll be tempted to believe all of these things, even that he doesn't care. I don't know if you're ever tempted to believe that God doesn't care, because what you're walking through or what you're going through or the failing you're experiencing is so hard and painful. Does God care? And the God in the flesh says, I do care. And candidly, there's no friend or spouse or child who has cared so perfectly for us at such an incredible cost to himself. Ever. No one has given this way to anchor the truth in our hearts today. Today, I care, I see, I know. No one has given as much to be able to prove that point. Some of the great Christmas gifts that we have received, inevitably, they're the ones that often come from someone who put so much heart into the gift, right? Maybe they spent lots of time trying to put something together for you by the grace of God, not an ant building you a bunny outfit or of some kind, right? But somebody that took a lot of hours or a lot of time, or even just the thoughtfulness, they heard you say something out of the side of your mouth that you wanted 6 months ago and they remembered. Someone that spent a ton of time or a ton of even their resource to be able to bring something to you, and it just means the world to you because of the cost of what it actually cost them to do that for you. Those are some of the most meaningful gifts we've ever received. So when we begin to think about what God did, eternally glorious, glad, alive, beaming in goodness and righteousness, he suspended all of that, left and came into our mess and came into our pain. The cost is unimaginable to the point of his own life. Philippians chapter 2, it's this encouragement to be able to allow this to wash over our own heart and mind. It says you can carry this, have this in your heart, in your mind, which is yours. It's yours to carry and to have and to hold in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of human flesh or in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even shameful death on a cross. The way in which God came to this place is the declaration, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. And what you're walking through, I know. I've done it, I've seen it, experienced it. There isn't an act in human history that will ever match the magnitude of this message from the heart of a father to send his one and only and to put him in a manger, in rags, in emptiness, to be able to say, I see you. I understand you and get you. I've been in it with you. Come to me. Have my glory. Take, receive, make the exchange. It's unbelievable, is what we celebrate. What we're doing this month is the God of glory in rags so that we could know he cares for us. We're going to celebrate it all month. Some of you have been celebrating like since like mid-October already, right? That's why we do this. Tree has been up because this God came and he's not afraid of messy. He did messy so he could take us and change us and transform us and make us like him. It's unbelievable. And the problem or the tendency is when we think about this God, we often go, God, will you come? And all right, probably a lot like first century Judeans. God, come here and fix all the stuff. Fix all the things that are messy and broken out there in the world. That's what they were hoping for. That's what we were looking for. Come and sweep the thing clean so that we can get back to living the way that we were supposed to be living. And the God in flesh, in rags, came to say, oh, there's plenty to work on out there, but I'm coming because I want to touch the messiness in you. That's the point. There's plenty that we want to be able to see God come and do. But it was not just to make the messes around us right. It was to point to the messiness of the heart of our lives. We often want the political things fixed or the economical things fixed or the societal things fixed. And the God in the manger says, I just want to put my finger on the thing that's in you. And I'm grateful for the people of God as we gather together to be able to touch the broken things that are in the world and to ask God to touch the political things and the social things and the economical things. But the kingdom is not a step. There's a coming day where you will have perfect politics Can you imagine? No, we can't. That day is coming. Okay. But it's not today. The perfect will come here. Perfection, glory, majesty, peace, rest. Everything you and I've ever wanted, freely and openly given. And all he asks in exchange is for your rags. He came in rags so that you would know he can handle my rags. He's up for it. That's why he came this way. There's something so incredibly rich and incredibly personal about a God who will suspend his majesty and lay in a trough and take on a blue-collar job for 30 years and work with his hands and show up and lay his life down and die so that he could say, come on. What do you got? You feel lost and unseen? You feel overlooked? You feel alone? You feel shame? You feel guilt? Broken? Sad? Afraid? What do you got? Come on. Bring it to me. You who are weary, burdened, without hope. God in the flesh, in the mess, says something to the world. He says, I don't care how bad you look. I don't care how bad you've done. I don't care how much you've run from me. You might be in this room even right now, this morning, and you've been holding God way off here because you got a metric ton of toxic shame telling you God can't deal with this and you and your situation and your mess anymore. And the king who came in the manger is saying, I can take your mess. Bring it to me. This is the point of Christmas. This is the truth. It's the only hope, lasting hope, this world has ever known. And it is just freely offered, widely, powerfully, beautifully offered, and you and I can have it, even today. Not just conceptually, out here, yeah, that sounds so good. No, no. What is the mess you've got going on? And what does this king want to say to it? What will he bring to you in exchange for it? What can you have today with him and from him that you could not create and have and do on your own? Listen, otherwise, we're just singing a bunch of Christmas carols. And while that's fun and sweet and cute, we will miss the point of God in the flesh. Surprise. This is it. This is what you get. This is what you have access to. This is the hope you're being given. And we get it, not just conceptually this month, today. Meaning, what are you carrying right now that you're going, I don't want to carry this anymore? What pain, sadness, hope, hurt, longing, desire, frustration, fear, anxious thing that's pressing you down and keeping you from having this king who will take it all? That's the question. That's where we get to finish even this morning. What are you asking? the God of the manger to do in your heart. What are you asking the God of the manger to do in you? You know, 90% of Jesus' life, there's no miracles happening. There's no ministry happening. It's just Jesus perfectly being among the people. And even when he moved into ministry, he took on 12 guys that were the messiest of guys. I don't know how Jesus could more clearly say. He was not Harvard elite. He didn't go after. He just said, I'm going to take these 12 guys who have no business doing this. I'm going to change the whole world. If you will believe, I can take your mess and give you glory. Do you believe? This is what it comes down to. Will you believe? Now, that all sounds amazing. What does it look like in real life? Well, it actually, real life hit our home this morning. And I did my best and attempted to try to share in first service. And I thought, my wife will just do so much better at sharing this. But it's really, in real life, real meaningful ways, these moments hit our lives. And I just wanted to be able to share, what could that look like? What might it look like? And even give my wife, Megan, an opportunity just to help maybe pray us through and give us an opportunity to actually, this was one thing, again, we can do the Christmas thing, but it's another thing to go like, okay, God, what are you wanting to do in my heart? So you guys help me bring up my wife, Miss Megan.
Hey guys, how are y'all? Good. I just realized I have gum in my mouth. I'm sorry about that. I'm gonna get rid of it right quick. I don't want to be insufferable as I speak to you. I just wanted to share something this morning because, just like Keith was saying, the Lord just, he wants fullness for us. And he has a beautiful way of meeting us right where we are. And he'll do it in so many different ways. And one of the ways that he does that sometimes in my life and in our kids' lives is through a dream. And I realize that may be outside the box for some, depending on what you believe or what you've been taught. But in our house and me, my life personally, ever since I was a little girl, I've had dreams in the night. And just a super quick word on that, it started off as like something kind of dark, and then the Lord healed me of that, and now it's something that bears fruit in my life for the kingdom. So if that's you and you struggle with dreams, that's just a side note to this. The Lord may want to heal that and show you the gift that he has, that he's given you, that he wants to use to bring you closer to Jesus. So, so we've cultivated a kind of atmosphere in our home where it's, if you have something that's on your heart that you want to share, like, please share it. And specifically with dreams, I've kind of, as my kids have grown up, helped them along with the dreams that they have. And so it's kind of normal for us. It wasn't normal for me as a kid, but it's just something again that we've pursued. But early this morning, I was up at like really early. Actually, my alarm accidentally went off because I was just going to come to the second service. And I went downstairs and my daughter, and I'm sharing this with permission. I'm not going to share her details, but she said I could share this, was down there. And she said, Mom, I had this dream last night and I need to tell you about it. And so she told me the dream, and part of it made her heart really sad because it brought up something that was really hurting, and it's something that we've talked about many times. It's actually been hurting for several years, and we've gone kind of over it and over it, and that's fine. Like, sometimes things take a while, you know, like sometimes something we're carrying, it's not like one of those instant things where it's like, oh, I talked about it and I'm done and I'm fine. Like, this has actually been something that's really, really been weighing on her. And so she felt like the situation just got brought up in this dream. And she's like, her honest question, I loved it so much. She's like, why would God allow me to like feel this? Like, ugh, like, you know, I don't even really want to think about it. And as she was sharing the details of the other parts of the dream, and I'm sitting there praying, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom on what to say, I heard her share some things that were actually also really encouraging for her. And so I share the parts that I could see were really encouraging. And then I also said, do you think that it's possible that maybe the Lord is so in pursuit of your heart that he's letting this be brought up because he wants to heal it today? And so her face kind of lit up and she's full of faith. She really is. And so we prayed through it. And then Keith came downstairs and I said, hey, tell Dad what happened. And she was like, truly like beaming, like lit up like a Christmas tree, testifying about how, she's like, yeah, and God healed my heart this morning. And it was just so powerful. And I just thought, okay, we can talk and talk and talk about things, but one encounter with God will change everything. And when he says it's time, it's time. And so it just dawned on us, because I, after that, I said, Keith, what's your message on this morning? And he said, it's about God's who's with us, like close with us. And I was like, okay, like maybe we need to share this testimony because God wants, maybe today's a day that he wants to break something off that you've been carrying for a long time. Or maybe he wants to give you something new to start carrying with you for the days ahead, because sometimes healing comes instant, and sometimes, and I would say more often in my personal testimony, it's something that he gives us where he's like, okay, here's a new way to think about it and something new to walk with, because he's in our midst, he's in our details. He's not like far off, like Keith was saying. And this is not something I said in the first service, but this is kind of like achy on my heart, this service, but you know, like if you, like, if you've had these experiences and you wish you had somebody to walk you through this and you didn't, that was my story too. And I, my heart's been healed of that. And the word says that the Holy Spirit is everything that we need to walk through something like that. And I wanted to read John 14. It says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And the counselor he's talking about is Holy Spirit. And another word for counselor is advocate. The counselor to be with you forever, in other words, who will never leave you. And so you have everything you need by the Holy Spirit to walk through whatever that you're walking through. And so while Keith and I both wish we could sit down across from each of you for coffee and hear all of your details and all of your story, we obviously can't do that with every single person, but hopefully we can be that for each other in the church all together. But then also the Holy Spirit is just, he's right there. Like he's right there with you. And the world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. And so I just wanted to take a second and pray with you like I prayed with Elle this morning. And just see what God wants to do. I don't know what he wants to do. Like he can work in a thousand different ways. And so but I just believe he wants to touch your heart with something as we posture ourselves to hear from him and to just interact with him. And so if you just want to close your eyes, if you're comfortable with that, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. You can also open up the word and find scripture that will speak to this moment if you want to do that. But I'm just going to take us through a prayer and just trust God that he's going to use it. Well, thank you, Lord, for the way that you speak to us. Thank you for how creative you are. It can come through nature, the word, dreams, visions, all kinds of things. You're just, the point is you're in pursuit of our hearts and you haven't left any of us behind. And our experiences in this broken world, we're just not home yet, will sometimes tempt us to believe that we're alone or that we've gone too far with something, we've ruined something, we've burned down bridges that could never be rebuilt. Sometimes between your heart and ours, we believe that, Lord. I know I have. That's just real. It's a temptation that's common to man. And so, God, I know that you are so powerful and so personal, both God of all the galaxies you created, but also the God that's face-to-face, one-on-one, our comforter, our helper, our advocate, everything that we need you to be, you are. And so we just posture ourselves, Lord, and just exaltation of the fact that you're the only one who can do that. You're the only one who can heal individual hearts. And so we just posture ourselves to let you in. And whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, Lord, would you, if anyone has a painful memory coming up, would you just allow them to have a safe place with you right now to let it surface? Because Lord, we, when we ask those hard questions, like why, I don't know what surrounds the why, but as we ask those questions, we find our answers in your trustworthy character in your heart. And so, Lord, I just pray you would pour out your spirit over this room right now and come and touch each situation that you know. And Lord, we know that as we allow you to take things that hurt, and there may be a narrative of fear around it, something we've been repeating over and over, like that'll never change, or that was just too much, or I'm alone, or I've been overlooked, or whatever the narrative may be that the enemy would love to just keep locked in, and that we would love to, in our fear, keep partnering with. Father, I pray for grace to let that narrative just surface, and that in the light of day, we would see what it is and not shove it back in the dark anymore. And Lord, that you would speak a narrative of hope that we can start to carry. And I know you're going to heal some hearts this morning just momentarily, but Lord, for the ones that just need something that's new to hold on to and walk with in the days to come, I'm just going to be silent and just ask Holy Spirit to speak something to your heart that's new over your situation. So I'm just praying that now in Jesus' name. Just listen to him. Even though it never feels like enough time in a church service, God, may that stir up hunger in us to let you finish what you started, even as we leave this place today. I pray for encounters with you, Holy Spirit, for myself, my husband, my kids, this whole precious church family that we love so much. I pray there would be encounters with you this week, God, that shift and change things, that heal us, make us, give us wholeness that our hearts are longing for. Because that's who you are. That's what you do. You're so kind. He's so good to us. We sing it all the time. You're a good, good father. And that's actually true. You're so good to us. And you're not passive about our lives. You're so in pursuit of what's best for your kids. Such a good dad. And so I pray that we would just have hearts that respond to you in pursuit of us. And may it bear fruit that is powerful. And Lord, just like you took our daughter's testimony today and multiplied it on the very same day as you healed her, I pray that you would just give each person in here a surge of encouragement, that you want to do the same with them. You want to heal their hearts and fill their mouths with testimony that they can share with a world that is hurting and needing to know what it's like to meet with God, to meet with you, and to be loved by you. And I thank you, God, for the way your love has changed my life, for the way you freed me of fear and shame and guilt, and you've set my feet on a rock and given me eyes to see your goodness over me. And I just pray that we would all walk with that confidence, and that you would get every ounce of the glory for it in us, Lord. So we just trust you, and we commit this day, this hour, this week, this month of December, in this moment of Advent, where we turn our hearts toward the reality of you coming from heaven and into our mess. And we just honor you and glorify you and trust you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you guys would just stand with me, we'll close out with our benediction. As we go, I want to encourage you, if the Lord's stirring something in you, we're going to have just a few prayer partners. We'd love to pray with you, care for you, cover you. They'll be up here at the end of our time. And so we'd love to do that. Or maybe you need to grab a friend and pray with each other, but don't miss this opportunity just for the Lord imparting something to you. I'm going to pray our benediction as we go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings, guys. Love y'all. We'll see you next week.